What is peace brain? Peace brain is the synergistic connection between our mental and emotional bodies, blending the electrical power of the mind with the magnetic force of the heart. Listen and explore how to create unity worldwide as we blend science and metaphysics, open our hearts and minds to the possibilities of peace on Earth, and create the life we are each destined for. Featured guests range from angel communicators to zoologists and everything in between. Now here is your host, Dr. Gail Lash.
Welcome to the Peace Brain Show. This is your host, Dr. Gail Lash. Today we have three guests with us and a powerful topic to discuss, along with a transformative meditation at the end of the show. So stay tuned, but first I want to open with a quote, as I do with these Peace Brain shows. And this one is from Jimmy Carter, the 39th President of the United States and the 2002 Nobel Peace Prize laureate. And his quote is, "The crucial question of our time is how to overcome oppression and violence without resorting to oppression and violence." A powerful quote. And this is really a crucial question when we think about the ways of creating peace in the world. What really works besides oppression and violence? This has been the norm in our global society for eons, but is it really working? Well, no is the answer. Violence and oppression simply breed more of the same. Peace must come from within and is a whole new way of being. Even though we know, at least in our hearts, what peace is and what it feels like, we need to be retrained back into having peace be our daily ritual and our reality. We need to train our minds, our bodies, and our spirits to peace. And the arts, dance, music, theater, spoken word, painting, sculpture, drumming, are powerful tools with which to retrain ourselves into peace. And that's something we're going to be talking about today. Jimmy Carter's quote really represents what the show is about today, about stopping oppression and violence, particularly against women and girls. Today, we are highlighting a campaign called 1 Billion Rising that has been sweeping the world for over the last 4 years. The 1 Billion Rising campaign was inspired by Eve Ensler and began as a call to action based on the United Nations statement that 1 out of 3 women on the planet will be beaten or raped in her lifetime. That's over 1 billion women and girls. Every February through March, thousands of risings take place in hundreds of countries across the world and within local communities to show the world what 1 billion looks like and to shine a light on the rampant impunity and injustice that survivors of various forms of violence have faced. People around the world rise through dance to express their rage against injustices. They get to with their community to celebrate the fact that violence can be defeated if we work on it together. They rise to show a determination to create a new kind of consciousness, one where violence is resisted until it is unthinkable. So I want to direct you to this website, 1billionrisingatlanta.net. That's the local website for the Atlanta, Georgia coalition that's working on 1 Billion Rising. And then the global website that is 1billionrising.org. And the effects of the last 4 years of this campaign have been really astonishing. I want to read you just a little bit about what has been going on at the on their website, what they highlight. They say, "We made violence against women a global human issue, not to be relegated to country or tribe or class or religion. We revealed it as a patriarchal mandate, present in every culture of the world. In our justice campaigns, we made visible, volatile, and impacting connections between violence against women and economic, environmental, racial, and gender injustice. We formed new and hopefully lasting coalitions between existing groups and individuals, not only with the women's movement, but also between the people's movement, covering diverse sectors. We showed that there is nothing more powerful than a global solidarity, as it makes all of us safer in our outspokenness, braver in what we feel willing to do. It inspires all of us to go further when we know the eyes of the world are on us. The 1 billion rising laws were created and passed and enforced. Leaders were born, politicians were held to the fire, major and invisible injustices were highlighted and proven undeniable. Our cries for each of our particular justices rose and merged into a sea of cries and demands, creating a new collage, a new collective vision, and radical landscape of what a just world might look like for women and girls. Everyone faced obstacles, attack, doubt, distrust, questions, lack of resources, impossible odds, and went beyond where even though we thought we could go, we have much to celebrate. So with that, I love what they wrote on the website. It's really amazing. It's something that inspires and puts forth this call to action. So with that, I want to introduce the first of our guests today, and that is Leslie Clayton of the Joyous Heart Network and the Body Awareness Studio. Leslie tells me that in her first career, she was a professional dancer in Atlanta and later created the first Pilates studio called Body Awareness. Her 22 years of commitment to support others to feel more connected and alive in their bodies is now evolving into creating a nonprofit called the Joyous Heart Network. Inspired by Eve Ensler and her humanitarian work in the world, the Joyous Heart Network will be working with other nonprofits to bring profound transformational healing resources to survivors of sexual abuse. Leslie is working with the Atlanta 1 Billion Rising team to help raise awareness about the issues and to build a bridge for survivors to find deeper levels of healing. Welcome, Leslie. Great to have you on the show today.
Thank you, Gail. It's great to be here. Yeah, feels good. So, should I just start talking?
Well, could you tell us a little bit more about what drew you to work with 1 Billion Rising?
You know, it happened several years ago. I was already working with Atlanta's teams whenever Eve Ensler would come in town for Vagina Monologues or to launch a new book. And her way of communicating what's going on around the world and also helping us feel it at the microcosm of our own personal lives into what's going on the bigger global front has always really moved me. And I had found some pamphlets about Eve's work and Vagina Monologues years ago, and I was very drawn to it because as a survivor myself, I didn't realize that there were so many other people out there. I wasn't actually standing in activism or anything, so I didn't realize there was a movement until I saw that. And so it felt really special to move into the Atlanta community and meet others who are wanting to see change happen, real change happen in our communities and around the world. And to be a part of it is amazing.
So. Yes. And you just completed a Red Tent event, and you have a Radical Forgiveness Clearing Ceremony coming up in conjunction with the 1 Billion Rising events. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, last Saturday, the Red Tent at the Unitarian Universalist Church was phenomenal. The women came together and created a sacred womb space that felt beautiful to be in, and we met lots of of other women from other communities in Atlanta, and we're all building our energy for the forgiveness ceremony coming up. What we'd love to do is invite and gather more healers, and also people who are working, people who would like to help us help those survivors. So I'm really calling on the change agents here in Atlanta to join us to come together for a ceremony that will help to build even more connection, be sort of cross-pollinating in between the different nonprofits that are already working in Atlanta, and professionals who are working with survivors to come together, and then the families who are you know, holding space for their loved ones who have gone through these kind of traumas. So we'd love to see that. This ceremony is very safe for all people, 18 and older, and it's a proven technique to open the hearts and just build community. So,
wow, sounds exciting. And tell us a little bit, I know you've created this new Joyous Heart Network, which deals with these issues. What is your vision for that? What do you see happening with that company?
Well, I what I'd like to see happen is that we raise enough money that we're able to support survivors to get to these profound transformational experiences that are right around our city, but also globally, starting in Atlanta, that and the education that comes with that, because I think a lot of survivors and a lot of also even places like Grady that with the behavioral health or places with that have addictions and counseling like that, they may not know about these services that we're offering for people for after they've gone through the initial therapies. This is like the next level of integration into community, and we'd love to see that happen, more help more people.
So that's fantastic. And I want to go a little bit deeper. Tell us how it feels from either some experience that you have had personally or that you've seen others have. What is the hope, the positive feelings, the benefits from these kinds of ceremonies and events for people who've suffered this kind of trauma?
Thank you. So for me, moving from, I found that a lot of times as a child growing up or even in family, when surrounded by loved ones, I often felt alone and separate and disconnected from the people around me that love me, and also disconnected from my physical body. And even as a professional dancer and training, and I can honestly say that dancing probably saved my life because of that consistent awareness that needed to be plugged into the body. It was later in my life I discovered that, you know, not everyone has that disconnect. I think a lot of people do, and they don't even know it. I didn't know it until I started doing these processes and dropped deeper into my body. My body relaxed in such a way, the safety just to be here in my body and with others, because that's when it was the hardest, being in relationship to others would tend to have me close down or guard. And once the relaxation comes in and the heart opens and you know you're really safe, the aliveness that starts to move through the physical body is so beautiful. I'm going to start crying right now just thinking about it. It's just...
That's okay.
Yeah, that's a gift. That's the real gift. And that's our birthright. That's our birthright, being human in a body right now on the planet. And that is one way into that sharing how peace can thrive here among us. Yeah.
So the disconnect is when one goes out of the body, becomes more rigid or more hiding, more
guarded. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and guarded, protection. It's the way a lot of us have to, maneuver in the world, whether we've had sexual trauma or different kinds of trauma or neglect. I think we've all got the ways that we manage to protect ourselves so that we can get through our daily grind.
So what you're really saying is that these ceremonies and these events, these gatherings, these places of safety and unity really start to open up the heart and open up to your body and bring life back into the body.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's my experience of it.
Mm-hmm. It's beautiful, Leslie. Thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome.
Any other last words of wisdom for the listeners? You've got a couple minutes left.
Okay. I would say that words of wisdom is just to honor the body and be present in your body and using the breath to enhance the subtle sensations and relaxation is your doorway into peace and into heart, into your heart. So
that's beautiful. Thank you. So tell us again about the events. I realize this people may be listening to this after the events happen, but again, give us the dates if you are here in Atlanta, and of course, on the 1billionrising.org website, our events happening all over the world. So please give us those dates coming up that you are in charge of.
Okay, right. On February 6th, Saturday, we will be at the Unitarian Universalist Church Congregation of Atlanta. The doors will open at 12:30 and the ceremony starts at 1 o'clock. And we'll do a very special connecting ceremony to open the circle and then a radical forgiveness clearing ceremony with Colin and Joanne Tipping, and followed up by a short panel of discussion and call to action for the upcoming events that come after that.
And how do people sign up for this event?
We are doing a lot of Facebook invites, and on Facebook we have a clearing ceremony Facebook invite, and they could also contact me. That's Leslie Clayton at 404-252-7550, or email me at leslie@joyousheartnetwork.org.
Thank you, Leslie. Thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thanks for asking. It's great to be here.
Okay, we will go on to our next guest. And this is Adele Taylor-Ulrich. I hope I said that right, Adele. You are the co-director of Hue-Man Up, an initiative of the nonprofit A Planet Project. And this intersectional organization works to engage men and boys to create a new social norm, feel free from sexism, male privilege, and gender violence across age, gender, and difference. And Adele incorporates unconventional methods to raise awareness, build empathy, and inspire action, from spoken word, theater, and public art to workshops, including a safe house fraternity training. Periodically, as a community call to action, she mounts billboards and transit sign public service announcements, as well as the theater production called Becoming Hue-Man, Words and Images to Help End Rape Culture. And her website is hue-man-up.org. Welcome, Adele. Thank you for being on the call today.
Thank you for having me, Gail. It's great to be here. Yeah, I just would love to get a lot of Atlanta involved in what we do. We've been here just a little over a year now, so it's wonderful to be connected with 1 Billion Rising and to be able to really get our work on the map, because I think there's great, as Leslie said, cross-pollination with all of these different approaches that we're using in the community. There are a lot of resources. Atlanta's got such an amazing a history of civil rights work, and I think that we're going to be really emerging as a very innovative city for transforming rape culture. I think we're really on the cusp of that, and I'm excited to be part of it.
Exactly. And your organization is unique in that you are focusing on working with men and boys. Tell us a little bit about that.
Well, I'm an expressive movement therapist, and I did a lot of healing work, worked with a lot of survivors, a lot of movement, and I'm a survivor myself, so I agree with Leslie. As I started dancing, my healing started that, and connection to others who had gone through the process or were going through the process. And I was reading a book because I was finishing up some undergraduate work years ago. I was reading Reviving Ophelia by Mary Pfeiffer. And she said, you know, she's a psychotherapist, and she said, we're doing ambulance work. It's as though we're standing beneath a cliff with stretchers, trying to catch bodies as they fall. And she questioned why we weren't going up on top of the cliff and helping to redirect people to other paths instead. So that really resonated with me. And I thought, I think I really want to do prevention work. And so I started getting involved with Eve's work in a couple of vagina monologues. We were very active in the first 1 Billion Rising in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, did a couple of flash mobs, did a performance of one of her pieces called A Memory, A Monologue, A Rant, and A Prayer. And they're like the vagina monologues. It's a collection of many monologues and spoken word pieces. And then we are to select a dozen or so, 8 to 12. And Eve suggests that people try to find monologues written by men and use them, and to also include humorous monologues. So my co-director, Ray Manlove, and I were poring over all of the pieces one night. It involved several beers and a lot of tears. And we realized that there wasn't much that men, the piece written by men, there wasn't any way to really go forward. So we loved doing the piece. It was powerful. It was wonderful. We made it as funny as we could. The humor was very dark and edgy. But people left the theater feeling kind of raw. I think that they left feeling overwhelmed. And you know, quite a few people gave us that feedback. So we thought, well, wait a minute. Let's get more solution-oriented, and let's engage men and boys way more than what's being done now. So we set about putting out a call for submissions for monologues, group pieces, spoken words, for becoming human words and images to help end rape culture. And we also asked for designs for billboards and transit signs, because we're trying to reach as many people as we possibly can, because we're talking about changing the culture. It's a slightly tall order when we're sitting in six thousand years of patriarchy, you know, it's not going to go down without a fight, that's for sure. And we really got some powerful, powerful pieces back. Had some digital billboards in Lancaster with some very specific messaging against street harassment, talking about what consent is, and really looking at victim blaming, which this culture is very guilty of, and basically saying that the causes of rape aren't short skirts or drinking or going out alone or being in the wrong place at the wrong time. The causes are absolutely the rapists. I mean, rapists cause rape, period, end of story. And we did a performance at Franklin and Marshall College and found that we got a tremendous response. We're an intergenerational organization, and we're diverse, and we have lots of pieces by men and for men. And one of the pieces that we did was a piece by Guante, who is the two-time U.S. spoken word champion. And it was a piece called 10 Responses to the Phrase Man Up. and it brought the house down. And so many men were coming up to us saying, oh my gosh, I'm so glad, I've just felt helpless for so long. And so we continue to do this annually. In fact, we have a call for submissions out right now. If people go to our website, to hu-manup.org, they can find out about our call for submissions, what we're looking for. And we'd love to have, get as many as we possibly can. And you know, it just is really interesting because we found that men were feeling helpless. And what we're trying to get across, essentially, is that being a good guy is not a lot enough. Other men were coming up to us and saying, hey, wait a minute, you're really dissing men. Yeah, I'm a good guy. I'm not a rapist. What about us good guys? I mean, come on. Right. Not all men commit sexual assault. The vast majority of sexual assault is done by a small percentage of men. So we are saying to people who are feeling like they're fine, they're feminists, what's the problem? That's not enough. Being a good guy is not enough. So, I mean, we live in this quagmire. It's like a petri dish of sexism. I mean, go to any magazine display, turn on your computer, look at anything in popular culture. It's absolutely loaded with hypersexualized women showing men as being dominant and treating women like prey. And listen to the language, the cracks, you know, calling women bitches and hoes. And, oh, yeah, I'd hit that. Or objectifying a woman, judging her on her appearance. Or hearing speech harassment and not responding. So we're saying to these good guys, listen, if you are next to somebody at the water cooler or listening to somebody in your family, wherever, a stranger on the train, and you see something, experience something that is even a microaggression, we need you to stand up and be counted. We need you to unpack that. And we're trying to give guys ways to do it safely. That's really important because there have been some problems with men standing up to street harassment and some horrible violent outcomes. But we're really interested in men carefully, safely unpacking rape culture and basically talking about how normalized it is and what that really translates to. You know, I used to say that too. And then I thought about it and, you know, this is really what it's saying. These little changes, I think, can start to loosen that fabric of rape culture. And so we're really trying to give guys the tools to do that. And we did our first fraternity training, as you mentioned, at Millersville University with Lambda Chi Alpha. And they were there for a full day training. These guys had never had any sex education. Most young men learn about sex from porn, and what used to be extreme and considered violent is now mainstream. In fact, you see it in advertising. So clearly, that's dangerous and destructive. So we spent a day with these young men. We had to do movement. We had them do active meditation. We had them write and, you know, find their voices and create some pieces. We had them explore power by rate sharing. You know, they touched each other. By the end of the day, they all signed a form saying that they pledged to not tolerate behavior that targets, stereotypes, demeans others. They would not tolerate any sort of sexism, sexual harassment, and certainly not any sexual assault. And most of them actually now want to be facilitators. So we're going to be going back to Pennsylvania and training them to be facilitators. We feel like this is what needs to happen.
That's awesome, Adele. It sounds like you have so many amazing programs, and you're absolutely correct to engaging the men and to having them become the proactive generators of a peaceful and calm and respectful society is really key. I wish we had a whole show to go into what you're talking about, but what I want you to do in the time left is actually please talk about for just a couple minutes, The Mask You Live In, this film that is coming up and being shown for 1 Billion Rising on February 8th, I believe.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
It's a documentary by Jennifer Peeble Newsom, who also made the film Misrepresentation in 2011, that premiered at Sundance, and that looks at representation of women and girls in the media and places of power, and what objectification by the media does to young girls and who begin to self-objectify. And in the middle, a lot of people came up to her and said, "What about our boys?" And she said, "You're right. And I have a son, absolutely." And so she went ahead and worked on this film, The Mask You Live In, which explores young men struggling to stay true to themselves while negotiating a very narrow definition of masculinity, or as we like to call it, the man box, which nobody fits in. And you're looking at how that actually translates in terms of destructive behaviors. And certainly sexism and sexual assault. So it's a really, 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 really powerful film asking the question, is American masculinity harming our boys, men, and society at large? So this is going to be at the Plaza Theater, which is 1049 Ponce de Leon Avenue, the same little shopping center where Urban Outfitters is. And we're going to be offering this along with 1 Billion Rising Atlanta, who have so graciously offered to support this project, Holla Back Atlanta, which fights street harassment, and Men Stopping Violence. We're going to present the screening. It's going to be at 7 o'clock. And then following the film, we're going to have a panel discussion, a brief panel discussion, to help people go forward. Everybody who attends will receive a little resource book, sort of like a little toolkit, so that they can take them with them, give them to the men in their lives, or put them to use so that they don't leave feeling disheartened. It's a really an incredible film. I can't say enough about it. We also have a little, the admission is $11, but we have a section that you go to Eventbrite and search The Mask You Live In Atlanta, you'll find the film. And there's a section which is pay what you can. So we're not turning anybody away.
Fantastic. Thank you, Adele. I really look forward to seeing that movie. And again, you can find out more about what Adele does at hu-manup.org. So thank you very much. And we're going to turn. I'm glad you've been here. We're going to turn to our third guest and final guest for this, the Peace Brain Show today. And that is Lisa Parsons.
Hi, Lisa.
Let me read your bio. You are filling in the role of social justice coordinator for 1 Billion Rising Atlanta. And Lisa says she's committed to helping end violence and inequities that disproportionately affect women and girls and people of color. She has helped coordinate the Atlanta version of several international events and particularly focuses on the use of the arts for social change. As co-founder and co-director of Posts for Peace and Justice, she plans collaborative workshops and brings diverse communities together to engage in dialogue around issues that matter. Expressions of their shared vision and voices is then manifested in art that is displayed for public viewing to raise awareness and stimulate conversations that lead to peace and understanding. Welcome, Lisa. Thank you for being on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about 1 Billion Rising, and then I do want you to talk about a little bit about the Post and Peace for Justice workshops. I know you have one coming up. You've done one in Atlanta already, but you have many more in the future that people might want to engage in.
Sure. You covered 1 Billion Rising pretty well. It was started in 2013 by Eve Ensler, and we had 7,000 people that came and danced spontaneously, so to speak, in Woodruff Park. And it was just an amazing gathering that was intergenerational and totally inspired many people coming together that wouldn't normally have met. We had a huge contribution by Moving in the Spirit, which is an organization here in Atlanta that trains dancers from a young age and teaches life skills through dance. And they were opening their doors to train different neighborhoods around town. And what I was amazed at going to those practices was that there was someone as young as 4, and there was an 80-year-old woman there, and there was everything in between.
Wow.
And there was every race, every culture, every, you know, the whole idea of violence against women. And we all know someone that has been a victim of that. And so it is something that is near and dear to everyone's heart. And I think it's one of those things that can unite us around a single cause in an otherwise kind of polarized society right now. So I was really excited to see this coming together and this unification around ending that violence and those disparities. And I think that's been a major contribution to the community.
So tell us a little bit about February 14th.
So February 14th is every year a international event. It's on Valentine's Day intentionally to help all of us remember that, well, we think of that as a day of love with couples and relationships and healthy relationships, and that's what we'd all like for it to be for every one of us. And that there are many people that when things are associated with coupling or with sexual type things have a traumatic memory or traumatic experiences around that need to be healed. And so Eve intentionally chose February 14th to kind of highlight the need for that, the wounds and the trauma aspect to end. The national or the international organization every year puts out those things that they would like to really work on every year. And on the 14th this year, wherever you are in the world, there are several challenges that they would like for you to think about, to kind of work into your event. And it can be as small as 2 or 3 people getting together, or it can be as large as a whole city. So Eve's intention in the group this year was to amplify the voices of marginalized women, bring national and international focus to issues around women, bring new artists' energy to create this possibility, raise other issues that have not been as visible, amplify revolution as a call for systemic change, platform voices that have not been heard within local campaigns, call on people to rise for others, call upon people of privilege to rise for those who are not. Create synergy and connection. Continue to call for state accountability and justice. Keep highlighting the economic context of women. Remain inclusive, intersectional, and comprehensive. Keep connecting the body and revolution. Rise for change and equality. And so that's what everyone around the world will pick, some or all of those things to kind of incorporate into their February 14th event. In Atlanta, we're choosing to do something on the Atlanta Beltline, which is a wonderful 22-mile pathway that was an old railroad bed that winds around the city and encourages communities to get out and walk and skate and be together as families or couples or individuals communing with nature. And we have art displayed around the Beltline, and we've had the Post for Peace and Justice out there now, 13 posts that can be viewed and as a messaging post. So we feel very honored to have those there for people to see and for them to kind of be encouraged and enjoy the art on those. On the 14th, we're encouraging Atlantans to come to the Beltline. We're going to dedicate those posts for peace and justice. And then we're going to have red umbrellas to represent a red tent event. Umbrellas generally are something that support and care for and are sheltering effect. And so we want that to be kind of conveyed. And it implies healing as well and a coming together. So we're trying to bring both couples that are celebrating the 14th as Valentine's Day, as a wonderful activity for Valentine's Day to get outside and and exercise together and enjoy nature, and also to become aware of how they can help others that have had unhealthy situations. Then we'll do a flash mob dance we'll have drumming and that type of thing. We are not disclosing the location yet, but if you go to the 1billionrisingatlanta.net, it will be up there closer to the event site time.
You can practice the dance. It's also online. That flash mob dance has been used every year with 1 Billion Rising. So many people are getting to really get to know it, called Breaking the Change. Is that correct?
That's correct. Break the Change. And it's wonderful, energetic movement that people all around the world know. And so it's pretty amazing to know that you're part of something that there actually have been events in every single country in the world. And everyone, the first year and the second year and the third year, we're doing the same dance. And so it just has a really nice feel of a universal way to express our feelings about ending the violence against women and girls.
Now, this year, we've been really fortunate to have these posts on the Beltline, and that is really being the center of the events in Atlanta this year. Tell us briefly about what a Post for Peace and Justice workshop is about and how someone might be able to make a post for their own organization or community.
Sure, and we would love for this to be universal, and we would also like to know of other people making them that can put them on our website, postforpeaceandjustice.com, and .org also, I think we have. So the posts are 8 foot by 5 inch and 5 inch vinyl posts. They're like what would be on a large ranch where a fence would be attached to it, but they stand singly, and they have solar tops, solar lights on top, and they are painted collaboratively by a group of people that come around the post to begin with to discuss an issue that means something to them and that it matters to them, and it's something that they would like to resolve. We hope, or in the ideal situation, we like to get diverse groups together to kind of make sure that we have different perspectives that are shared. And then the post is representative of a collaborative voice, a joint one voice for many people on what are the most important quotes, what are the most important facts about the particular issue, what are the most important images that can really make a difference to someone's heart and affect them in a way that it shifts a paradigm or inspires them to action.
Could you give us an example?
For instance, I am concerned about the word and languages that have been used around immigration lately and the political scope. And we did an immigration post where many women that had migrated to the United States came together, and they decided to paint the bottom of the post black. The bottom third is black because they said coming into this country, it felt like they were in darkness. They felt unseen. Some of them felt like they had to hide. So it seemed an appropriate analogy. Then within that black space, they drew their handprints and wrote in Spanish the words peace and love and the core essence of who they each were. They also put skeletons, small skeletons on that to represent friends and family that had died and had not gotten here. Then the middle part of the post, as you move upward, they wanted to relay the idea that they could transform with just a little bit of help. So they had a dancing person holding, held up by a hand. And then there were transformational images such as butterflies and peace doves and that type of thing flying upward on the post. And then the top third was painted in beautiful, bright reds and yellows, the classic Latino colors, with a huge sunshine. And the quote from Cesar Chavez about that it does not, you do not need to denigrate another's culture in order to preserve your own. And that was done with in Spanish in their own language on one side and in English on the other. And I thought it was a really good representation of listening to how it feels to be an immigrant in another country. They also wrote on there a reminder to all of us that immigration is a global issue, that all of us if something displaced us in our country and things fell apart and there was violence around us and we were peaceful people, would want to get out of where we were. And once we had to leave our own country, we would immediately assume immigration status. So it's something that we all need to take very seriously and understand that each one is a human being and each is at the essence core of who they are, wherever they are. And it needs to be respected and appreciated as the diversity that makes us whole, makes us really like a beautiful, beautiful bouquet.
That's beautiful, Lisa. So basically, any community or individual or organization who is working with an issue or is passionate about an issue, they can create a post for peace and justice around that issue.
That's true.
And so I know the posts have traveled to the various places. Could you briefly give us, in the last minute or so, a list of kind of where the posts have gone?
We had our first workshop in Atlanta and had 8 posts here. And then we went to Washington, D.C., where we were hosted by the International Child Art Festival, and we made 3 posts there by kids from over 70 countries, which was fun, right on the ellipse, which is where we could see the White House. Then they were displayed in Washington, D.C. They've been in California. We have made one in Arkansas. There's another 2 that are in Virginia now. We have over 40 total now. And many, many schools are doing them as a peace project and as a way of utilizing art in a way for social change, which has been wonderful. My partner, Kara Corster, is out in near San Diego, and they've done a lot of work around Monterey as well, if you're out that way.
That's beautiful. So again, how people can find out more about this on postsforpeaceandjustice.org, is that true?
.org or .com, and we also have a Facebook page, Post for Peace and Justice. And the idea is to, you can host a post, so you could call for one for an event, or a school, or you could host it, meaning that you would pay the fees for a workshop, and so pay for multiple issues to be done at the same time, or you can post a post. We encourage people to do that. When they see a post that's about an issue they love, or they've helped make the post, then pose with yourself and friends with the post in order to open up conversation on social media about that issue.
Awesome. I know near and dear to my heart, you're doing a workshop on the United Nations new 17 Sustainable Development Goals, and those are going to be amazing. Doing
yes.
a post on those.
I'm very excited about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Lisa. Any last words of wisdom for our listeners today?
Well, I just want to reiterate one thing that Leslie said. I've just found that being present with yourself first really allows you to fully give your presence to the world. And so I love the work that she's doing. I love the work that Adele's doing as well. And also, I've really found that arts are a universal language. And they give voice to the heart and soul in a way that is really hard to express in words. So for all of you out there, look at ways to use art to really affect people's hearts and to affect social change and bring in peace both internally and all around us.
Thank you, Lisa. Thanks for bringing the awareness to art and talking about how we can use it. And you're absolutely correct. The arts, I think, are the universal language of the world. So thank you all. I want to thank Leslie and Adele and Lisa. We're now going to move into the Peace Brain meditation. And this is the last segment of the show. And I invite you all to sit back and relax, just get comfortable in your chair, to take a breath. And we're going to do a visualization today. So close your eyes and create a connection from the base of your spine to the center of the planet. I like to think of a tree trunk or a beam of light coming out of my last vertebrae and going all the way down to the center of the planet. Just anchoring me and grounding me into the earth, Mother Earth. It brings me into the present time, as Lisa was just saying, being present with yourself. So in your visualization, I invite you to really visualize a world without violence, where rape, sex trade, and domination were never even thought of. Can you imagine that? I know it may seem impossible, but we are actually changing the vibration of these issues. So begin to imagine a world where those issues and those actions never occurred, where violence is not even considered, where safety and respect were and are the norm for women and girls and all peoples and all life. So imagine it. What could it look like? I think it would be a place where women and girls are valued for their compassionate heart, their community spirit, working in the collective, their artistic endeavors, scientific brains that are in tune with nature, inventive creativity, and nurturing actions. Women and girls bring beauty and light to the world, and their wisdom and innate gifts are valued in finding societal solutions to righting the world. So with that vision, what could your workplace look like if there was only respect for women and girls? Think about it. What would your home life be like if everyone in your family was respected? What would a children's school look like where there was respect for women and girls? No bullying allowed. No bullying present. How would your community or city look? And how would we act towards each other? What solutions could be found if those voices of women were included fully in the mix? Now take a breath. And from your sacred heart, that inner beauty and love that is you, that is who you are, send peace and love out to all the women and girls around the planet. Send this vision of equality and respect out to them. Feel a world exist that honors them and honors all life on Earth. Now take another breath. And thank the women of the planet for bringing humanity back to its senses. And begin to bring yourself back as well to this place, to your chair, to your place where you are, with this new vision in your heart. And really feel it in your soul, in your heart. Know that you, walking forward now, can go out into the world and really make a difference. With this vision, your energy changes the world around you. We are creating a world of equality and respect for women and girls and all life on the planet. So bring this energy into your day, open your eyes and be present. And be peaceful, kind, and respectful of women. Well, I want to thank you all today for tuning in to the Peace Brain Show. Remember, if you would like to connect with me, Dr. Gail Lash, for a private Alchemy of Peace coaching session, or if you'd like to conduct a peace master plan for your company so that your company can be known as a place of peace, please go to our website, tourismforpeace.com, or you can email me at hello@peacebrain.org. I'd love to learn more about you and to see where you're traveling on your peace journey and to see if we can make a fit to work on walking those steps together. And again, I want to thank my guest today, Ms. Leslie Clayton, at thebodyawarenessstudio.com or joyfulheartnetwork.org, I believe, Leslie, and Adele Ulrich at hu.manup.org, and Lisa Parsons at 1billionrisingatlanta.net. And you can find out more about 1 Billion Rising and its global events at 1billionrising.org. So now, please go forth and activate your peace brain and put your mark on the World Peace Trails map. Many blessings.
Thank you for joining us on the Peace Brain Show. You can find us at tourismforpeace.com. Be sure to check out Dr. Gail's Alchemy of Peace coaching sessions, her Peace Master plans for your business or organization, and her upcoming book, Peace Brain 101. Tune in to BBS Radio Station 2 every other Tuesday at 5 p.m. Pacific and 8 p.m. Eastern for the Peace Brain Show and your next installment of wonder, inspiration, and practical peace.